So Brendan and Dre, thanks so much for joining me today. We're going to be talking about job quality. In other words, what makes for a quality job? What makes a job good? And how do you prepare? How do you train people to get jobs that are really good? So I want to start by getting a little bit of biographical background on each of you. Let's start with Brendan. If you want to tell me something about where you grew up, how you made your way towards employment.
Well, I grew up in the Cleveland area. My family, they're a little scattered around, but they're all in Northeast Ohio, so not too far. How I made my way towards employment, I had my first job when I was in high school, and that, you know, led to me having a little bit of complications with time for school and time for work, and it led to me not getting my diploma. So that, right out of the gate, obviously led to me having a hard time finding jobs in the future, especially good jobs, not just regular run-of-the-mill, you know, just to survive.
Could I ask you what that first job was?
Oh, it was at the original mattress factory. A lot of people in my family, they worked there, and my uncle, he's still working there at this time.
And so, what were you actually doing at the original mattress?
I was a part-time, I would say, warehouse associate. Whenever I would get off of school, I'd go there from 4 to 8, and I would you know, pretty much finish out anything that they had left over when the day shift was done. You know, if they still had some mattresses that need to put into bags, then I would bag them, and then I would put them onto the pallet jack, wheel them over to their stacks, put them up there, and then if there was any customers that would come in during that day and they would talk to any of our sales associates and they wanted to take home the mattress, then I would load it on their car or fit it inside, because, you know, some people don't want to pay delivery fees.
Yeah, so, I understand. So yeah. You're the guy who had to put it on top of the car?
Yeah, and it was not as hard as you would think. They teach you a little trick to pop it up onto your shoulder, and then once you get the car, you just set it on there. The little strap that they use around, like, the edging of the bed, we would use that to just tie it through so that way we're not beating up people's cars.
Where were you when I had to move my girlfriend's mattress? Because it seemed pretty hard to me.
At what size was it?
That big.
King size, they actually teach
you. I'll let you say a lot bigger than her car.
I got you. The kings, they teach you to fold them in half. It makes it a lot easier, especially if you're just one person moving it. And then regular size ones, I guess you just got to be careful when you're driving.
We only had to go about 6 blocks, so, okay, we made it. I interrupted you. I apologize. So you had trouble balancing school and work, which is very understandable.
Yes, and out of that situation, I went for a little bit of a distance between, you know, that job and my next one. I wound up, actually, when I was 19, I started having seizures out of nowhere for no reason, pretty much. You know, they say that they might come from stress, and, you know, I've spoken to many doctors about it. But the thing is, I had to, you know, go back and forth with the hospital for a couple of months, then trying to, like, figure out the diagnosis, sure, and then medication trials and stuff like that. But after that, I had gotten a job doing some bricklaying. That was only seasonal, though, so it wasn't, you know, permanent. After that, I wound up working for two different motels. I started off first at Motel 6, doing just basic grounds crew, you know, picking up the trash, emptying the bins, and I would go and help out the housekeepers when they needed it, because, you know, there really wasn't enough trash to keep me there all day. And then I found myself later working at La Quinta as a front desk and night auditor. That was a pretty good job, I won't lie. It taught me a lot. Never worked behind the desk before. I was there usually by myself, so I would try to stay busy, you know, keeping that area clean, you know, making sure that when guests come in, they see a nice, clean hotel. They don't want to be scared off by some, you know, leftover crumbs, right, or some bugs. So, I don't know. And then after that, I actually have SNAP, which is, you know, like the food card.
Right.
And they sent out a notice saying that since I wasn't working at the moment, that I needed to go to a certain location in order to get a certain number of hours per week in order to maintain the benefits. So when I got that, the place that they recommended for me was Towards Employment. So I came there, I spoke with them, I went to orientation, and then later on I went to the two-week workshop. And while I was there, I met Ms. Shepherd. She is a great woman. She really breaks it down and makes this place fun. I won't lie. That's hard to do because a lot of people, when they come through here, it reminds them a lot of school.
Yeah.
A lot of people that are out there or that are working, you know, a lot of them just didn't like school. That's why they didn't go to college. That's why they didn't further pursue education. They chose, I'm going to work, you know. And
all of a sudden, you're back in a classroom with a bunch of people.
But, you know, I will say, though, that that classroom, even though it's only 2 weeks long, the people, you really get so connected with them, and they just become almost like friends that you went to school with your entire life.
Wow.
It's crazy that that all happens in 2 weeks, because it goes from you being on there the first couple of days, and you're like, wow, this is new, I don't know anything, and then a couple more days go by, and you're like, okay, I'm starting to get the hang of it, and then the next week comes, and it gets a little bit harder, and then you guys are starting to rely on each other, because some people are struggling in one area, where other people are struggling in another, so you have to really rely on your team. Even though the facilitators will help you with anything you need, it's more so just that camaraderie to where you want to ask the people around you, because you feel like you'll be prouder of yourself to get the job done with teammates rather than trying to, you know, just take it straight to management or your boss or your facilitator. But after I finished out the 2 weeks, I went to Job Club. And
tell us what Job Club is.
Job Club is pretty much you coming for 2 days a week. It's 2 hours a day, and you're there with most of the people that you would have graduated from your workshop class with, unless they had already gotten placed in jobs. You would then each grab a computer, and you would sign up for Ohio Means Jobs, because in my opinion, that's been the best website to look for careers, jobs, anything. You can detail it down to everything that you need to be able to find a job for you. So they sign you up with that. And, you know, they have two or three people usually sitting in here with you if you have any questions or you're, you know, concerned about something on your resume or this or that, anything that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in and you just try to find the job that you want, not just the job that you have to take. That's what Job Club's really about.
Uh-huh. And what kind of jobs did you, presumably, do you go as far as fill out a job application there?
Yeah, you fill out applications online in there. You try to reach out to people. You can even still stay in contact. That's what's convenient about it being in the same building, is you have access to your career coach, your case manager, your facilitators, the people that were there with you along the way. They're still right there with you. If you have any questions, all you go do is knock on the door, and hey, when you have a minute, they'll come and, you know, talk.
That's terrific.
Really
does your career coach look something like Dre?
She has glasses, so no, Dre doesn't have glasses. But what's it called? My career coach has been very, very helpful. Dre, I think, is my case manager. Are you my career coach? Okay, so she is my new career coach, because there is a little mix-up at first. At first, I don't think I presented myself as the youth, and they weren't aware of that. So then they realized it afterwards, and then that's when they had offered me paid work experience here at Towards Employment.
So I really only came to Job Club for 1 week. People, they come for sometimes over a month. It all depends
so
what they're trying to
do. So your job, in essence, became, what did you call it, the job?
Paid work experience.
Paid work experience.
Yes,
they offered me that my first week in Job Club. They pulled me out on the second day that I came.
And they were talking to me about jobs I would not like to work and jobs that I would like to work and jobs to hold me over in the meantime while searching for my career. So they were talking to me. I had told them, you know, I don't really want to enter the fast food field. You know, my sister, she's a manager at a fast food chain, and she's offered me, you know, hey, come here. I can definitely get you a job. It's super easy. And I've told her, you know, I really appreciate it, but I don't want to deal with that type of work environment, you know? So besides that, I told them that if they had something here, I wouldn't mind helping out because they've been very good to me. You know, I noticed there was a young man coming in and out of the class while we were working. He would just grab our trash. So I told them, even if it's something as simple as that, I don't mind. So that's exactly what they had to offer me. A couple of days had went by and, you know, the situation had came to be where they had an open position. So they called me, my career coach at the time, Rhonda. She had gotten a hold of me and said, hey, I advocated for you. If you would like the position, it's yours. So then I came in the following Monday and started working.
That's terrific. So, Dre, let's turn to you and get a little bit about your background. I think you grew up in Cleveland.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you were doing as a kid and how you made your way towards employment?
Sure, yeah. So I grew up in Cleveland Heights, went to Cleveland Heights High School, graduated from there in 2014. And I actually got my first job after my senior year of high school. It was, of course, food service. so that was what I was doing in between high school and college. I decided to go to Kent State University to complete 4 years. I have a Bachelor's of Arts in Communication with a PR minor. And all throughout college, actually, I was working. By the time I graduated from college, I had 8 jobs. Wow. Yeah, because I knew that I needed to keep myself busy. And
what was the worst one you had?
Oh, the worst one? Because they were all food service except for one. Probably a bagel shop that I worked at because it was so busy in the morning.
Yeah.
Like that rush. And I always had the morning shift and the line was just out the door. So it was very chaotic.
And people are in a hurry when they're
always
waiting for their bagel.
You know, gotta get to class or get to a job. So, but yeah, so I had 8 jobs by the time I got out of college because I knew I had to keep myself busy and I wanted to make sure I had spending money while I was in college.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to rely on my parents anymore. So then after college, I was kind of thinking about even before I graduated, you know, what do I want to do, you know, with this degree? You know, I had been in a couple organizations where we were able to help people. For example, I was in an organization where we advocated for students to get free uniforms instead of them having to pay for the uniforms.
Yeah.
Because obviously they don't have money if they're starting a food service job. So I knew that my passion lied within helping people. So I wanted to keep that going outside of college. So I started looking into actually higher education and nonprofit. Of course, I didn't have the experience to be in higher education. I had applied to be like an admissions counselor and stuff like that for local colleges in Cleveland. But of course, I didn't have the experience. So then I turned to nonprofit and I was able to have my first bit girl job, if you will, outside of college at a...
My daughter calls it adulting.
Adulting, yes. My first adulting job at a community corrections agency, which was a nonprofit. I started off as an administrative assistant. Then I worked my way up to caseworker. And I worked there for 2.5 years. And then I started realizing corrections really isn't my jam. I just felt like I was a probation officer, basically, you know, uh-huh. requiring people to do urinary drug tests.
Wow.
And requiring them to
yeah.
go to like drug treatment, and I had to be that assertive person, and that's not who I am.
You were the bad cop.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And you know, I was their point of contact between like the courts and like the clients.
Yep.
So, you know, I get all the
brunt. Were these all juveniles?
No, these were actually adults.
They were adults.
Yeah, they were adult former offenders.
Mm-hmm.
They had just, you know, been released from prison, were
mm-hmm.
on probation. But then I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. It was a little difficult to deal with that population. But I did gain a lot of experience. I learned a lot. You know, I really enjoy working with a lot of different groups of people because that's the only way you learn, right? So I am glad I did get that experience to work with that population. But then I decided, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. So that's how I found Tours Employment. I started my job search on Indeed, actually. And
uh-huh.
I saw Tours Employment was hiring actually for a case manager at first. So that's what I applied for. Got the interview. And then they called me a few weeks later. They're like, you know, the case manager position is actually we've moved some people around because this was still during the pandemic. So they were trying to fill positions with people they already had. But then they're like, well, we have this career coach position available. You know, it might be a good fit for you. Are you interested? And I was like, sure. So then I met with the career coaches that will be on my team. I had a second interview, and then, you know, the rest is history. That's how I ended up here. So I actually started off working with actually pretty much the same population I was working with at the Community Corrections Agency, except I wasn't a PO to them. I was actually trying to help them gain employment.
Meaning that this was a population
who was just released from prison.
They were just released
from prison. Yeah, had criminal backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So, but the difference was I was actually helping them gain employment. I wasn't like, you need to go to treatment. You need to do this drug test. You need to do this and that. I'm like, okay, here's a plan that we can do to improve your life, you know, after you're released from prison. And then an opportunity came up to work with the youth. And I decided, you know, maybe I should give it a try working with a different population, you know, people who don't necessarily have criminal backgrounds. Of course, we do get those from time to time, youth with criminal backgrounds. Most of the time they don't. You know, these 18, 24 year olds are just getting into their careers, really trying to figure themselves out and what they want to do. And I found that I definitely enjoy working with the youth a little bit more, you know, especially since I'm very close in age to the 18, 24 year olds. So I can relate to them better.
Yes. And they can relate to you.
Yes. And, you know, it's easier.
Like you understand what they're talking about.
I understand the lingo. Yes. And it's easier to, you know, talk about things, you know, in life, to relate to them. Definitely easier to contact them because, you know, they love texting. So it's easier to get to them through texting. You know, and occasionally emailing. But yeah, so that's how I ended up working with the youth, and I've been there ever since.
Well, that's terrific. So I'm going to ask each of you a question about what you learned from all of your training of different kinds, either mm-hmm. on the job experience. What, Brandon, do you think is the most valuable skill that you learned from your work here at Towards Employment, your classes at Towards Employment, or your experience going all the way back to the mattress factory? I mean, if you had to give advice to people about the most important thing that translates to any kind of job.
Well, you kind of put me on the spot with that question.
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Yeah, a couple of ideas are rolling through my head. Big one that I'm thinking right off the bat is that one here at Towards Employment. I never would have thought that, at least in a professional manner, you know, there's always people out there that you meet in life, but I would never have thought that there would be these or so many people here
that barely even know you that want you to succeed so much. And the thing that is very sad about it, Brian, is that this is not even on the front lines. I've never heard about this place until I had to come here pretty much. And now it's the best job I ever had. So honestly, it's just, I would like to get the facts out to, you know, me at that age, just coming out of high school, trying to, you know, figure out what you want to do, having 1,000 people in your ear telling you go this way, go that way, do this, do that. I would just say, there is people out there that really do want to help you, and all you have to do is just find them.
Mm-hmm. And you have any advice for, you've got someone from the communications department sitting here. You have any advice for how to get that word out?
I would honestly just say, try to, you know, maybe do some research on who are some of the biggest influencers, maybe in Ohio, start off there, or maybe even just Cleveland, start small, who are some of the biggest influencers, try to maybe have a meeting with them, even if it's virtually or something, and try to just get our name out there more, you know, because
that alone, or at least letting people know the idea, you know, if Fox 8 would come here, or even Channel 3 would come down the street and do a you know, a news story on this place, I guarantee the next day there'd be a parking lot full of people just waiting to come through the door.
That's very interesting. And so something as old school as a television reporter makes a difference.
Yep.
But when you say influencer, I think social media.
Yes, there are social media influencers. There are, you know, people that influence within the community. We have someone here, his name's Greg. He's like a community outreach type of person. You know, he's very in tune with his community and the community around him, you know. So even somebody like that trying to correspond with him, or, you know, I don't know. Marketing isn't what I have experience with, so I know that it's obviously got its own challenges, and I'm sure they've thought about what I'm saying a million times. How do we get this out there more? But, you know, when it does happen, there will be multiple buildings called towards employment all across different states, and just trying to help people out.
Yeah, and the central answer to my question is, you were surprised to learn that there were so many people who wanted to see you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an amazing takeaway. And Dre, you have all that job experience from when you were in college, 8 horrible jobs in college, and then your first job out of college, but also you're a job coach. So whether it's what you tell your clients that you're working with, or from your own experience, what's the most important thing that people need to understand in order to be successful in their job?
I would say the biggest thing is to just be a go-getter. You know, don't let anything scare you away. Just take those chances, take those risks. You know, if it's something that is, you know, going to be positive and, you know, further your career in the long run, then do it. I mean, I wouldn't have had 8 jobs had I not been a go-getter. You know, had I not been like, okay, this job isn't for me. Let me go to this job.
So,
you know,
willingness,
that's not
to
say, to
take chances.
Yes. And of course,
meaning
it's not to
like
say,
leaving a job.
Yes. Not to say, like, you know, work at a job for a month and then if you don't like it, just quit. Because these jobs I've had, you know, it's been basically each year of college and summer jobs. And of course, you know, after graduating and having my full-time jobs, I've stuck it out because I'm still want to gain that experience with the pathway I'm trying to go down. But, you know, when you're in that career, if there is a position that interests you, or if there's some kind of training that interests you, or if there's someone, if there's even like a coworker who interests you, you know, don't be afraid to go up to them and be like, hey, you know, I would like to learn more about what you're working on.
Uh-huh.
I want to get into this. Or if there's like a position.
Did you do that?
Yes, I did.
Give us an example.
So actually, I have been working with, I presented to our, I guess she is, yeah, she's the chief financial officer, Colleen. I told her that I was interested. Yes, I told her I was interested actually in like learning more about HR,
mm-hmm.
because at the time she had taken over that role for a little bit. So I went to her back in December and I was like, hey, you know, I'm interested in learning more about this. Is there a way or a chance I can learn about it? And she was very receptive to it.
And you just went up to her and said,
yeah, I emailed her. I was like, hey, can I talk to you? So she was like, yeah, come up to my office. And so I just went in there and I was like,
wow.
Hey, yeah,
you are a go-getter.
Yes. You know, if there's something I want, I want to go get it.
Are you listening?
Yes. No, I hear it. She's proved that too. She's been there every step of the way, no doubt.
And she was one of those people who wanted to see you succeed.
Yes, definitely. And so
she's a coworker.
Yes, yes. And so she was able to hook me up with actually our HR person that we have with us now, and I'm able to have meetings with her monthly about, you know, things that she's working on, you know, what types of HR there is out there. You know, she's asked me, okay, what do you want to see, you know, within towards employment, you know, what kind of projects do you want to work on? And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not spoken up about it. And of course, you know, not every opportunity will actually turn into anything, but the fact that you have gained that knowledge and those skills, you can take that to somewhere else, you know, if it doesn't, you know, eventually move into anything, you know, at least you have that to put on your resume that, you know, hey, I sat down with the HR person, I was able to learn these skills and I was able to work on these projects. You know, that's, I mean, the more knowledge, the better, in my opinion.
And the more practice and go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Which is
definitely.
Not easy.
No.
I
definitely worked up to getting that confidence,
right,
of just going to someone's office. Like,
that's,
hey, I want to do this.
That is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn to our formal topic, job quality. let's start by thinking for each of you about what makes for a good job. When I ask my kids that, they say making a lot of money, right? And certainly being paid fairly and equitably is an important part of a job. So let's just put that on the table, and I'd love to hear you talk about that, but I'd also love to hear each of you talk about the other things that make for a good job, a quality job. Brandon?
Well, I'd say a quality job to me would be a place that, you know, really wants to actually value you as a worker and not more as just like a brick in the wall, you know, just there.
Replaceable.
Yeah, replaceable, just holding us up.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah, that's a good analogy.
And, you know, this place.
Also,
inert.
Yeah.
This place is very, you know, beneficial in that aspect because I've heard of stories where people that have just went through the program a year ago are already, you know, working here and have been working here and now have second jobs and are doing more and more to try and get towards their career goals that they have in mind. So a good quality job to me would be a place that not only wants to see you do well at your job, but also do well for yourself, you know. Because without your workers, without your customers, there is no business. You're just somebody with something to offer.
Great. And Trey?
So my thing, you know, just bouncing off the fact that I was able to go up to hire up a director and express what I wanted to learn, I think one of the biggest things for me is just being able to have those professional development opportunities because you never know what that could lead to in the future. And like Brendan was saying, having an employer value you and value your growth, basically, and actually want to invest in you. And I think that's really important. You know, of course, everyone loves money, but, you know, where do you see yourself in the future? I'm always thinking about that. Like, where can I go from here? So I really want in an employer to see the value in their employees and be able to, you know, train them up, you know, to take over positions in the future. I think that's,
so
that's one of the
a pathway,
things.
A career,
yeah, career pathway.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other things that, you know, all kinds of fancy studies of what makes for a quality job mention are scheduling flexibility. Would either of you like to comment on the importance of scheduling flexibility?
Yeah, I think...
Or lack thereof?
For a quality job, I feel like having some sort of schedule availability is always very important because you, just like today, you never know when something is going to happen to where you're going to have to take care of a certain situation or you literally have no choice but to be late to work because you can't make the cars.
And you told me what happened today, but why don't you tell our listeners what happened?
I will let you guys all know that I take the bus back and forth to work every day. And when I was coming in today, we were on the bus and we had gotten to a certain stop and the door would not close. So I tried my hardest, even from the outside of the bus, pushing the door up against it. The door closed, but the sensors were not signaling for the bus that it closed. And without that, the lady could not legally
drive. She would get
drive.
In trouble.
Yes, yeah, she had to stop. She told us, hey, you guys are all going to just have to wait for the next one. Luckily, it was coming after about just 10 seconds of standing outside. So we
lucked out on that one. I wasn't too late. So, but yes, having some sort of flexible schedule, maybe when you're hiring people or even when you already have everyone in place, talk to a couple different people and feel them out and say, you know, if ever anything happened and I needed to call you on one of your off days or at a time when you've already left, if I needed you, would you pick up, you know, would you be able to come? And, you know, having a couple people like that with a flexible schedule is good because then if anything does happen, you know, emergency situation, people have families, children, you will always be able to take care of the situation. And if not your employees, then the boss himself, I feel like he or she should be able to at least fill the spots throughout the company, mm-hmm. because they should know almost every aspect of the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you didn't mention one of the biggest reasons that people talk about flexible schedules, but that's people who have kids.
Yeah.
And who have responsibilities for kids. And buses are notoriously unreliable. So are kids' schedules. So that's something that people often mention. Dre, how important do you think flexibility and scheduling is to a quality job?
I think it's very important. I think one thing employers need to remember is that we're humans and we have human problems that happen outside of work. We have personal lives. We have things that we need to take care of, you know, whether it be like a sick child, a sick parent, you know, maybe you've gotten into a car accident on the way to work. I think employers need to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, their employees have issues that they have to deal with. And I really believe that if an employee has proved that they're reliable, then they should get that flexibility. Sure. You know, for example, that's why I wasn't really stressed about Brendan, you know, being late, because he's proved that he's reliable. And,
you told me he'll be
yes.
here.
Yes, I told you. And
even said it's not like him to not
already have texted.
Yes. And he texted. He kept that communication open. And that's, yeah. That's the thing, too, is communication, you know, just letting your supervisor know what's going on so they can be aware, you know, just don't leave them hanging is the important thing. But also making sure the supervisor is, you know, sensitive to those kinds of things and is able to make those changes if something comes up.
Yeah. Sandy, do we have time for one more question?
We've got 5 minutes. Great. How many you can fit in?
So the question's open-ended. Is there anything else that either of you would like to say?
Well, I would like to say that I guess I shouldn't have been that nervous. This interview was actually a good, enjoyable time, you know. It's always enjoyable here at Towards Employment. I think a lot of the things we talked about, they were pretty good, and I feel like, you know, if people hear this sort of information, especially employers, hopefully they can sort of take some of the constructive criticism and not take it in a bad way. Just try to understand that, hey, you know, you need to try to be there for your employees, because everyone needs a job. They need to survive. They're not living a luxury life like a lot of, you know, owners of businesses or presidents of companies are doing. So, you know, I don't know. I think everyone, like Dre said, we are all human, and, you know, you firing somebody for, you know, missing a day or being late, like she said, if they're reliable, you could be making the worst decision of your life by letting them go, because they could go home, lose their house, not have a roof for their kids, or you could have chose to keep them at your company. And, you know, 5 years later, they could have been your number one salesperson, bringing in the most money, making sure you have a roof over your head for your children.
I would just like to stress to people who are currently looking for employment to not give up. Job searching and searching for employment is a full-time job in itself, and it takes a lot of patience, and, you know, you have to be thirsty for it. You know, you have to put in those applications all the time just in order to land that job. You can put in 20 applications and only get like one callback, and, you know, having that one callback is proof that you're employable, right? So, you know, just for example, I decided in December 2019, that community corrections wasn't for me. It wasn't until January 2021 where I started with Towards Employment. So that just goes to show, it took a little over a year for me to find a different job and something that I really enjoyed. So you just have to be persistent. You have to be patient. Don't give up. You know, things don't happen like that, even though, you know, with our cell phones, our smartphones, you can get information just like that. That's not how life works. You know, life works on its own time. You just have to be ready and be patient, and you'll get that job.
Well, I want to thank you both for talking to me. This was a very enlightening conversation for me, and I'm certain it'd be enlightening for our readers and our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks, everybody.